Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, let's talk about the U.S. equity markets because, look, September has actually been a pretty bad month for the equity markets. I'm looking at the S&P here and it really did top on the second day of trading, right at that 45 level, and for about two consecutive weeks continued to drop. Now, this week we got an early on, pretty quick drop on Monday, but then the market has started to rebound. What was interesting about Monday is that the S&P finally did drop below that 50-day moving average, which has been strong support for over 6 months now, but it's recovered. And now it's back above that 50-day moving average. Only took about 3 days under there, but it was kind of a wake-up call, I think, to some investors that, look, this market isn't always going to bounce off the 50-day. That being said, again, it's back above the 50-day. Dana, what's your takeaway from the weakness that we have seen broadly in September for the U.S. markets?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Well, I mean, per our conversation 2 weeks ago, we're not that surprised to see it, right? We've had this basically what we've called a two-way market for many months now, kind of consolidating or digesting that post-election rally that we saw into the spring and kind of working off some of those excesses. At the same time, we had during that two-way market, we saw the large caps going to new highs on a regular basis. At the same time, the broader market and breadth was not keeping up, not confirming. So those breadth divergences were basically have been our biggest source of concern over the last month or so and our biggest reason to expect weakness before a resumption of the bull market. So not surprised to see the pullback over the last couple weeks. And you toss in, as you mentioned, the most negative seasonal period of the year here in September, especially mid to late September. And things pretty much colluded to come up with a pretty bearish scenario here in the near term. So we're not surprised to see the weakness over the last couple weeks, and would not certainly would expect some more digesting, maybe some more testing, maybe even a new low before this little corrective action runs its course. So you didn't ask, but I'll tell you, we are selling into this rally here in Wednesday, Thursday rally, and adding some shorts back into our portfolio that we had covered into that plunge on Monday. So we think there's a selling opportunity. We do think there's a very good buying opportunity approaching. But again, I think there's more corrective action, more of the process to run its course first.
So are you trading this range then? Do you think that the low on Monday after that pretty quick sell-off, is that going to remain the low, or are you thinking it could go even lower than that?
It certainly could go lower. I would say I'm not sure if it's going to hold, if we're going to get a retest of that low, if we're going to get even a low. Typically, we get kind of a slight, at least a slight undercut of the prior lows. But again, it's not just the S&P 500 that we're watching. We talked a little bit before I came on that, you know, those tickers, those averages that are the most widely followed, they're the least reliable when it comes to traditional technical analysis. So like the 50-day, et cetera. There's a lot of gamesmanship that goes on in those heavily watched indices. You know, some of the amateur, quote unquote, amateur retail investor traders out there that can get chopped up by relying on those in something like the S&P 500. But there's thousands and thousands of tickers you can trade. You'd find something less watched, and you're probably going to find that it relies much more, it conforms much more reliably to those types of indicators. But I do think there's more weakness coming up. Would I be shocked to see a lower low? No, not at all. And if we do break the lows from Monday, it doesn't mean that, okay, we're going to have another steep waterfall decline. We might, but it's just part of the process. And often what it does is shake out, you know, those weak hands. And you got to remember, people were they're hardly hedged. You know, there's almost no protection coming into last week, and certainly this week, very little in the way of hedging or protection on. People were still pretty leveraged. Caught way off sides on Monday. A lot of those people still did not capitulate, so still over leveraged. So we start going down again quickly. There's going to be a lot of people that still need to, you know, deleverage or reduce their long exposure. So that could feed into another wave down before a more sustainable, more reliable bottom.
Yeah, we've seen that lack of volatility and people having a hedge in the low volatility readings, for example. So there's a lot of people that are still pretty bullish on the general markets. But if we do have another washout, that would be something that maybe catch even more people off sides the next time. But just shifting over to some of the markets you're more bullish on. Last time we had talked, we had discussed the small cap growth companies, you know, that subsector within the Russell 2000 that's more growth oriented, and with the ETF IJT. Are you still liking the setup here, and what are you doing with that trade, Dana?
Yes, we do still like it. So that's one, as you mentioned, pretty much consolidates. It went sideways from February to late August when it did break out around the time we spoke last, pulled back. We were not surprised since we thought we were going to see some broad market weakness. We were not surprised to see that breakout initially fail. But we thought, you know, we think that's a chance to get in at better prices. So we've been buying IJT into the pullback, especially on Monday when it got down to around 128.5. We thought it was a good entry point. So if we get another leg lower here in the near term in the market, certainly that would impact this IJT, small cap growth, in the near term. So there certainly could be a little bit more consolidation here. But yes, we do think it's set up after basically a six, seven month consolidation is setting up for another breakout and maybe a pretty substantial new up leg.
Well, another stock that, yeah, or another ETF that you had mentioned you'd liked last week was Japan and that ETF. So what are you looking at as far as the setup on the Japanese stocks?
Yeah, so you have, you know, the EWJ, the iShares, the broad kind of a larger cap Japanese ETF, which did break out a couple weeks ago. We did not chase it. We own a little bit of it, waiting for a pullback to add a little bit to it. So it's held up. It's been pretty resilient into this pullback in the global equities over the last couple weeks. So we have added a little bit, looking for a little bit lower prices in EWJ specifically, looking for 71, and if we get down to about just below 69, we're going to be adding some more. But the one we like even better, as we've talked about, small cap Japan, SCJ would be the ticker symbol. So we bought a little bit of this. We'd like to see a little bit more correction after breaking out. Broke out of basically a cup and handle that's been in place since 2018. Broke out, now pulling back, testing the breakout or the launch area. So get down to 84, we'll add some more, and down just below 82 would be an ideal spot to add to that one. So Japan looks very good to us going forward.
Dana, what about emerging markets broadly? Because those have also done fairly well. There just seems to be this liquidity in the market, and it's not just in the U.S. However, we do focus a lot in the U.S. What's your outlook for emerging markets?
Yeah, so if you look at, for example, the popular EEM emerging market ETF, or the MSCI emerging market index that it's based off. So basically, it went sideways since topping out back in 2007, 2008, made a similar high in 2018. Finally, late last year, early this year, was able to break out, had a nice run until the spring. Just like the U.S. market, though, had after a run like that, it's got to digest. So I think what we're doing right now is just digesting down near that breakout point and above those 2018 highs. So on EEM, that would be around that 51, 52 level. So I think as we think there's more short-term consolidation corrective action left, before we take off to the upside. I think there's probably a little bit more consolidation, a little more digestion as well in the EAM and the emerging markets before again, a more sustainable bottom and a takeoff can take place. So, but we do like EEM. We'd be buying it down here. I just think there's a little bit more short term back and forth to take place before it gets really takes off again.
Well, Dana, it's interesting that you also play a lot of just individual countries' ETFs. Are there any other that have your eye at present?
Yeah, so we have a relative strength screen in terms of our investment process, in terms of our selection process, or it's all based on relative strength, some models that we put together just to kind of identify what are the strongest performing areas of the market, what are the likely to be the most the best performing areas in the market going forward over the next, 2 to 6 to 12 months. And a name that popped up on the screen recently is Ireland, for whatever reason, I don't know, but taking a look at the chart, both the cash index in Ireland, as well as the ETF, EIRL would be the ticker symbol of that iShares ETF. The chart looks great. In fact, as we talk right now, it's trading at an all-time high. So it's held up extremely well during this recent corrective action. So if we do get more of a pullback here and generally in the equity market, I'd like to see a little bit of a dip here in the Ireland ETF. And we would certainly be looking to add a decent chunk of our portfolio in there.
So Dana, when you take kind of a broad step back then, and you still continue to see opportunities, even though there might be some short-term weakness in, let's say, the U.S. broad averages, do you relate this time to any other trading sessions in the past where, in all fairness, there does continue to be this buy the dip mentality and a lot of liquidity out there, even as we keep hearing some negative comments from commentators saying a big drop is coming, look at the valuations on some of these sectors. Fact of the matter is these markets do continue to mostly trend higher.
Yeah, you know, I do think we're late cycle in terms of this bull market, but I think there's more highs to come. I don't think the indicators are out there to suggest that we're at a major top, but certainly there are the background, what we call background indicators, the long-term indicators, certainly are at extreme levels, like valuation, percent of household assets in equities, which just was released yesterday again. Once a quarter comes out, that set another record. So we do have some of these long-term indicators that are very extended, very excessive. But in terms of our investment models, our indicators and models that dictate, where prices are likely to go, we're seeing a high likelihood of new highs and a new, decent up leg to this bull market before perhaps the ultimate top or any major top is likely to occur. So there is lots of potential risk out there in the long term. I don't think we're quite yet at that point where we would be, signaling the long term, like a cyclical top, like, back in 2000, 2007, probably not quite there yet, probably some further highs to come.
Well, Dana, just speaking about that big major top that will eventually come, what kind of indicators in your models will you be looking for to know that it's not just a, another peak before a drop and then another peak and then another drop? What will you be looking for to signal that it actually is the major top?
Yeah, we'll start looking for more major breadth divergences. During the summer, we certainly got some short-term breadth divergences that were alarming and certainly a red flag for us in terms of our immediate investment posture. But longer term, more distinctive breadth non-confirmations or divergences where the rally, large caps might continue going higher and yet breadth continues to fall off the table. And coinciding with that would be certain sectors that start falling off the table and start treading lower, even as the averages go higher. Same thing with maybe new highs and new lows kind of seeing an expansion of new lows. And we saw that to some degree during the late summer new highs in the indices, but not to the egregious extent that I would expect to see before a cyclical top. So in short, more of a deterioration in the underlying foundation of the market. Like, you're not going to probably see the broad market and the small cap type stuff and some of the higher risk areas of the market hold up this well. If we're leading up to a major top, we would expect those types of areas to start deteriorating prior to, you know, more of a major longer term, maybe cyclical top.
All right, Dana, appreciate the updates here. These markets still are relatively boring, right? And that's even after 3 weeks of weakness here for the U.S. equity markets. But it wasn't that weakness that seemed to bring a whole lot of fear into traders' eyes. And I guess rightfully so, because that quick drop below the 50-day was pretty quickly recovered again, although you do see some more weakness coming. So we'll follow up with you in a couple weeks. I always appreciate hearing what you're looking at, and always entertaining hearing some of these random countries that pop up on your guys' screen. Dana, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again in 2 weeks.
You got it. Thanks, Corey.